Welcome to the Canyon Ridge Baptist Church podcast. In this message, listen in and learn deep truths from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20 and Mark chapter 6, please. Exodus chapter 20 and Mark chapter 6. I am really thrilled to be able to preach to you tonight. I asked Pastor to do this message. It is, I guess, the day for different style messages. Many of you were here for my Israel series back in whenever that was, September, October timeframe. And tonight, after doing that series, I realized that, you know what, I think my giftings lie a little bit more towards the Q&A style of message. So I've really designed this message around that idea. I'm going to answer four questions tonight, and hopefully that will be helpful and profitable to you. But as you're turning to Exodus chapter 20 and Mark chapter 6, does anyone need a handout? There were handouts that were passed out earlier. If you need a handout, just slip your hand up high enough so that the ushers can see it. We have some folks everywhere. Thank you, ushers. Really appreciate it. I'd like to start out tonight by telling you a story. Once upon a time, there was a young man, a 19-year-old young man who lived in Laramie, Wyoming. This young man was born to be a company man, no matter what company that he was a part of, but it so happened that he worked at Albertsons, that great grocery store. It's your store. And this young man, 19 years old, the dream of his life was to be a checker. A checker. You know, back in the days when you could not beep and do self-checkout, there was a checker who would take your items and beep them along and put them in bags or send them down to the baggers and the courtesy clerks, as it is noted. And this young man, he wanted to be a checker real bad. And back in those days, the checker had to memorize the codes for the produce. And so, you know, he really wanted to be a checker. And I don't know why they wouldn't let me do that. Oh, shoot. Yes, it's me. It's me. I wanted to be a checker. I still remember ginger root, 4615. Red Delicious apples, 4025. Bananas, 4011. They would never make me a checker, and I don't know why. But I share the story to tell you that after 2 years of working at Albertsons, I was then 21 years old, the old age of 21 years. And let me tell you, I was tired of being a courtesy clerk, especially in Laramie, Wyoming. In Laramie, Wyoming, it is so cold that in the wintertime, you would have to put on your jacket to go outside. So we would help the customers out. That was part of Albertson's policy and being your store. So we would put on our jackets and we would go out into the cold, the bitter freezing cold, literally bitter freezing cold, and we would help load their groceries. And some of these people would travel into town from 60 miles away, and they would have their groceries packed in dry ice and in these paper bags and all kinds of different things. But we would do that, but after 2 years, let me tell you, I was sick of grocery carts. I really had had enough. It wasn't the carrot that they would dangle in front of me to be a checker, just wasn't enough. I'm telling you, what I needed at the end of that time was a break. I needed a sabbatical from being a courtesy clerk. After 2 years, I needed a break for sure. Now, I tell you that story tongue-in-cheek. Many of you are privy to me. Every time we pack something, every time something goes in the car, every time we get ready for a men's retreat or whatever, I joke around how I was a courtesy clerk at Albertsons. I know how to pack things well. I know how to play Tetris with real stuff. And so that's just an inside joke that you are all now privy to. But I share that because in every area of life, we kind of need a break. Or you would say we might need a sabbatical. But the purpose of me being here tonight is to share with you the need for a sabbatical amongst pastoral staff, or really the pastor, all right? I asked Pastor to be able to share this with you, so I've titled my message on sabbaticals and solitude, because some of you may know, some of you may not know, but Pastor will be taking a sabbatical later this year. I'll tell you the story about how all that came to be in a moment, but unlike being a courtesy clerk, there is truly a great need for a sabbatical for pastors. And really, the reason for that is that they carry the emotional weight of all of our problems and all of our difficulties 24/7. I was joking around about needing a sabbatical from Albertsons. I was just tired of it. But truly, for the pressure and the weight of a pastor to bear the sorrows, even bear the joys, to bear the life, to live life with a congregation the size of ours, really it's important that that pastor would be renewed and refreshed and to have what we would call a sabbatical. So really tonight is all about my case for a sabbatical. What is a sabbatical? I'm here to answer questions. Hopefully I'll address most of them and also give us a few things from the Word of God that will help us to apply this concept and this idea in our own lives. And so if you would, starting in Exodus chapter 20, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture since Pastor preached on it recently. But let's just open it up and read it. The idea of sabbatical, the root word is Sabbath, and it comes from God's prescription for a Sabbath. So let's read Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." In doing some research and reading, and the trustees have done some with me as well, and even the staff, there's a pastor that had a breakdown in the last couple of decades and wrote a book about it. And he says this about his need for a sabbatical. It came to a head while he was out on a run in Southern California. One minute he was jogging along the sidewalk, and he says, "The next minute I was sitting on the curb sobbing uncontrollably. I couldn't stop, and I didn't have a clue what was happening to me." Don't worry, that's not pastor. That's this other pastor, not our pastor. Another pastor says this. These are some interesting quotes that I gathered. "I rarely have time for the reflection that would make me a better pastor. I love the people in the church, but I'm worn out. The things I love to do with my spouse or alone are waiting for me if I can come up with the time and energy to do them. I see it in all my work," continuing on, "it is a lack of creativity." Now, I share those stories not to say that our pastor is exactly the same as those pastors or those stories, but to share with you the burdens that are upon a pastor that is truly loving and caring for his flock. There is a great need for renewal leave for pastors in particular because of the emotional and spiritual burdens that are upon them. Now, what is a sabbatical? That would be a great first question to answer. If you take your hand out, that's your first blank there. Number one, question number one, what is a sabbatical? Okay, we read this passage in Exodus, but what is a sabbatical? Well, first, I'd like to give you some definitions so that we are not confused. In the English language, we tend to be lazy. I think we're just lazy as people and as individuals in general. But we need to define a few things. First of all, we need to define the word leave. That's your first blank, leave. What is leave? Now, any of you that are in the military or have been in the military, it's a great word. Everybody loves leave. Leave, I think, conveys the idea of departure because we are leaving. We're leaving our work. Hence, you have different forms of leave. You have baby leave. You have bereavement leave. You have medical leave. You have all different kinds of leave. But the idea is one of departure. Contrast that with the next blank would be vacation. Vacation conveys the idea of leisure or recreation, but especially travel. Now, I understand we don't always do that. We often say, "Hey, I am on vacation," which means I'm not at work. But technically, I would say that's probably an inaccurate use of that word. So I'm just trying to clarify here the idea of leisure and recreation, but especially travel. Otherwise, why would we say I'm taking a staycation? It's because vacation historically carries the idea of travel, but especially leisure and recreation. Your last blank there would be sabbatical. Here is the definition of a sabbatical. It's a deliberate cessation of professional productivity for the purpose of renewal and rest as an act of obedience and worship to God. I probably should have had John put that definition in there and had you fill in blanks, but I'm going to read it off to you again. A deliberate cessation. Oh, thank you, John, for putting that on the screen. God bless you. Leave that up there for a little bit. A deliberate cessation of professional productivity for the purpose of renewal and rest as an act of obedience and worship to God. We're going to get back to Exodus chapter 20, but let me give you a few clarifications. These clarifications are based on the purpose of a sabbatical. It is for the purpose of renewal and rest. Now, in our world, there has come to be this idea of an academic sabbatical. Many people have been involved in teaching or in professional education, and there is an idea of an academic sabbatical. The purpose of an academic sabbatical is to produce something. Someone will go off and write a book. Someone will go off and write a dissertation. Someone will go off and finish a major study that they have been involved in. This is not that. This is a sabbatical for rest and renewal. It's also not a vacation. Based on our definition here, the idea of vacation is leisure and recreation. However, a sabbatical may include that, but a sabbatical conveys the idea of rest and renewal for a specific purpose. Rest and renewal in order to get close to God and in obedience and worship to God. So really, if we could define in another word or in other words the idea of a sabbatical, we would call it a renewal leave. Hopefully that makes sense. It is renewal leave. It's not baby leave. It's not bereavement leave. It's not medical leave. It's not vacation leave. It's renewal leave. It is leave for a specific purpose of renewal. Now, I just want to say in passing that many corporations, you may not be aware of this, but many large corporations offer sabbaticals as part of their policy. I don't know anybody that works in these corporations here, but maybe you should ask your corporation, but Adobe, Charles Schwab, Deloitte, General Mills, Intel, Microsoft, and yes, even McDonald's. Yes, McDonald's offers sabbatical for long-term staff. So all those companies and many more offer the idea of sabbaticals or a cessation of professional productivity. And specifically in our case, for the church, it is for the purpose of renewal and rest as an act of obedience and worship to God. Now, back to Exodus chapter 20. This is the passage here that God is giving the prescription for the Sabbath. Pastor preached on this a couple of months ago, I believe. And so I just want to remind you, you have there on in your notes, you have the four things that Pastor listed as the reasons for the Sabbath. To remember, to renounce, to rest, and to rejoice. That's under point number C. To remember, to renounce, to rest, and to rejoice. I like to put together another word to help us describe that. And so you have those words on the screen there. You can fill them in as you wish. But the idea of remember, we're remembering God. We're remembering our relationship to God. We're remembering perhaps our sin and the forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ. And the one word that I feel that could encapsulate that well is the word meditation. Meditation. We don't do that well as a culture. Western culture does not give itself to meditation. And by that, I do not mean Eastern meditation. We've talked about that before, but I'll say it again because I never want anyone to be confused. The idea of Eastern meditation is that you empty your mind of everything and open yourself up to whatever. And honestly, what that does is it opens you up to demonic influence. So we do not believe in that type of meditation. However, this type of meditation is perhaps to empty your mind of the distractions of our lives and open ourselves up to God, to His Word, to thoughts about His Word, to truth about His Word. So Christian meditation, if I could say it this way, Christian meditation is not emptiness. Christian meditation is deliberate thinking about truth, as opposed to Eastern meditation, which is emptiness. And so when we remember as part of the Sabbath, we could probably do well to meditate on truths about God. When we renounce on the Sabbath day, what we are doing, we're renouncing the sin in our life. And the word I thought matched would be repentance. Renounce, to repent, to say, you know what? Every time we gather together on a Sunday, essentially our Christian Sabbath, if you will, we have the opportunity to be confronted with God's Word and to say, wow, I am not living in accordance to God's Word. I'm sorry for that. I ask God's forgiveness for that. I renounce that way of living, and I ask for God's help to help me change and to live in a way that pleases Him. I think I speak for the majority of us here to say that Pastor's series through the Ten Commandments has revealed very, very extensive sin in our own lives. At first glance, I said, yeah, I'm good with the Ten Commandments, partially because I haven't done any of those horrible deeds, or the majority of them, and partly because Jesus has forgiven me. I'm good. And as Pastor preached through them, and he explained that these commandments are given to a redeemed people already. This is not a means to salvation. This is really the way that saved people should live. I realized how far short that I fall, even still with the Holy Spirit inside me as a Christian, how far short I fall in keeping the Ten Commandments. And so we have an opportunity to renounce our sin and repent of our sin. The Sabbath is also for rest. I wrote deloading. Deloading. We are overstimulated. Here's what I mean. Most of us take our days off and we stimulate ourselves. And we say, you know what? I'm going to go have fun here. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to be a part of this. And as we often joke, sometimes we come back from a day off or a vacation or whatever, and we need a vacation from a vacation. Or we need a day off from a day off. Well, in part, we should use the time that God has given us to deload, to rest, to deliberately take a Sabbath. And finally, the fourth reason for a Sabbath is to rejoice. And the word I chose would be gratitude. When we have gratitude to God, we have a happy spirit. There's nothing to be sad about ultimately when we are grateful to God. And so that's why the Bible over and over commands us to be thankful, to in everything give thanks, to for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I say all that as a way of review. I want us to not forget what Pastor preached on, at least in some way, shape, or form when it comes to the Sabbath. But technically in the Bible, there were three types of Sabbaths. There was the weekly Sabbath, which we just read here. There was the seven-year Sabbath for the land to lie fallow. So what would happen is you could till your land, you could work your land for 6 years, and the seventh year was supposed to be a year where you let the land rest, the Sabbath of the land. And then the third Sabbath would be the year of Jubilee. So after seven cycles of seven, then that 50th year, I guess you would have a double year of Sabbath. You would have the seventh year of leaving the land alone, and then you would have the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. Many things were associated with that, freedom for slaves, freedom of debts, all kinds of things. It was to be a wonderful year, but that would be the third Sabbath that we see in the Scripture. What is the point of all that? The point is that we see in God's Word a pattern or a rhythm of Sabbaths. Pastor quoted, I don't know where he got this quote, I'll have to ask him when I see him again, but he quoted in his sermon on the Sabbath, he said, the rhythm of our lives belongs to God. The rhythm of our lives belongs to God. Now, I don't always enjoy preaching, mostly because it means that I have to confess things in front of my wife. She's always here to hear them. And I can tell you, just straight up as a church family, if I can take this idea of rest and Sabbath and sabbatical, we're going somewhere, and tell you, I don't Sabbath well. I take my day off, and it really is, I'm not taking a Sabbath, I'm taking leave. And it's usually work leave. It's project leave for home. It's things to accomplish at home. It's car leave. It's activity leave. And really, we're very, very, very busy always on our day off. And I confess publicly that I am not really in the rhythm of my life and my family's life. I'm not following God's principle of Sabbath. And so I want to renounce that. I want to repent of that and say, you know what? God wrote it in his word that we should work 6 days, and the seventh day is a day to remember, renounce, rest, and rejoice, or to meditate, to repent, to deload, and to show gratitude to God. So as we talk about the idea of a Sabbath or a sabbatical, I just want to encourage us as a church family to evaluate our own lives. And to say, hey, are we following God's prescription in our lives for a rhythm that includes time away from the busyness of life to reflect upon God, to contemplate God, and to honestly show our dependence on God? Because see, what's happening on my days off is that I am thinking in my head, by my own will, by my own strength, by my own energy, by my own planning, by my own diligence, I'm going to move my life forward, and I'm going to move my family forward. And God says, you know what? You got 6 days to do that. There should be one day where you take a step back and say, you know what? God's in control of my life. God is in control of the rhythm of my life. God needs to be a priority enough that I will stop and I will reflect and I will think upon the things of God and how they affect me and my family, and we will devote ourselves to that. I don't have a perfect prescription for you. I'm just saying this is something that we as a people need to explore in our own minds, and we need to come to grips with in our own life and honestly ask God, God, how am I living my life, and am I living my life in a way that honors you? How important is this? Pastor referenced this and preached this when he preached the message, but this command to honor the Sabbath day or a day of rest or a cycle of rhythm that includes rest in our life was not based on the needs of the time. Oh, the people are so exhausted. They're slaves. They need a day off. No, God relates this command to the creation itself. And he says, if you look in verse 11, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God didn't need rest. God didn't need to take a break from his work. God wasn't thinking of something to do. No, God was establishing for us a pattern, a rhythm for our lives. And to not obey that is to say, we know better than God. And I think in my own life, in my family's life, and probably in many of your lives, we suffer the consequences of not following God's pattern in that way. I mentioned three Sabbaths in the Bible. Well, there are multiple Sabbaths that God mentions, and I am just referring, I just want to relate that, the idea of Sabbath and the rhythm of that type of renewal and rest to the idea of a sabbatical. And the same principles apply to the idea of a sabbatical. So we've defined a sabbatical. A sabbatical is, if you didn't write it down, a deliberate cessation of professional productivity for a specific purpose, the purpose of renewal and rest as an act of obedience and worship to God. There are some bad ideas in the world, and I don't want to harp on it too long, but some ideas are, I'll sleep when I'm dead. How many of you heard that one? I'll sleep when I'm dead. All right, I heard that one all the way at the Naval Academy, way too much, and unfortunately, I live it. And Leslie gets on me all the time, and I'm doing my best to change. I want to change, but for me, I need to get more sleep. Pastor even knows that. He's talked about that with me before. Other ideas are, you know what? I have a friend of mine who works 7 days a week and then takes vacation. So it's like, basically, she works and works and works and works and then takes vacation. And then works and works and works and works and takes vacation. That's not God's idea. Now, she's not a believer in Jesus Christ, so I don't expect her to order her life in that way, but God gave us a seven-day cycle built in to the created world. Let's move on. Question number two. What is our sabbatical policy here at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church? Well, let me give you a little bit of history here. First, some information. Conventional wisdom, as you do research on sabbaticals and things like that, conventional wisdom says 3 to 6 months every 4 to 7 years. Process that for a moment. 3 to 6 months every 4 to 7 years. Our desire, after speaking with the trustees, after reading some books together and doing research, our desire was to have basically pastor take a 3 to 6 month sabbatical every 5 years. That would be, in our minds, that was our initial idea. I don't think pastor could last 6 months away from Canyon Ridge. And so he agreed to do 3 months periodically. And so we have come up with a plan. Basically, every 3 or 4 years, pastor, as long as he will agree to it, as long as the church can support it and there's nothing crazy going on in our church life, he's going to be taking a sabbatical, a 3 month sabbatical every 3 or 4 years. The trustees talked about that. We prayed about that. We did research together on that. And we voted on that. And that is our current sabbatical policy, pastor to take 3 months. And so he's taking a 3 month sabbatical later this year. I believe it is something like mid-April to mid-July. And so that is our sabbatical policy. Just in full disclosure, pastor, after that was all said and done, he said, Bernie, you're taking a sabbatical for 1 month. And so I'm like, yes, I'll take it. So I'm looking forward to that. And I guess I'm going first at some point here in January, February. But pastor's taking the big one every 3 to 4 years. That's our current sabbatical policy, and that's what we're planning to do. Number three, what will pastor do on sabbatical? All right, what's he going to do? I know a lot of things are rolling around in your mind. Well, number one, we have established that a sabbatical is for the purpose of renewal. This is highly individual. What renews one person will not renew another person. I enjoy organization. I enjoy putting together our church's calendar. Pastor gives me some general guidelines, some guidance, and turns me loose on the calendar. So you can blame me for every hiccup in the calendar. You can blame me every time something happens that you don't want to do. It's all my fault. But Pastor despises that kind of stuff. But he loves other things. He loves, like, people and stuff. I can't stand him. I'm just kidding. But very seriously, different things fill different people. I was talking with someone last week about the difference between an introvert and an extrovert. We sometimes get those ideas mixed up in our head. An introvert is someone that always wants to be alone. That's not necessarily an introvert. An introvert is someone who basically gets energized when they are alone. They're happy to be around people, and they give and give and give, but their giving has a limit, and they get depleted, and then they have to retreat and be alone in order to re-energize and then re-enter into the world of people. Doesn't mean that they're unsocial, doesn't mean whatever. You can be an introvert and be very bombastic, be very charismatic as a person. It just means that you get your tank filled up when you have alone time. An extrovert gets their tank filled up by being around people all the time. Like, when they're alone, it's a curse, and their energies just begin to deplete. And as soon as you get them around other people, then they come out of themselves, and then they begin to energize and whatever. Pastor is probably more of an introvert. Debbie is probably more of an extrovert. I think we would attest to that, and we would understand that in the life of our pastor and his wife. But anyway, it's very individual. So I don't know what pastor's going to do. I didn't tell him. Nobody tells him what he has to do. Maybe he'll go fishing. Maybe he'll just lift weights all day long. I doubt it. Maybe he'll be in traction. You know, maybe he'll go get a bunch of surgeries done. I'm just kidding there. I'm just joking. I don't know what he's going to do, but the important thing is that he does the things that renew him. Back to the story at the beginning, the pastor that had a breakdown and just found himself on the side of the curb, weeping uncontrollably. He went to the doctor. They talked a lot about chemicals and serotonin. Yeah, you have serotonin in your body, which is the feel-good chemical, but it gets depleted, and then your body has another chemical called adrenaline, which it shoots into you when you have important things that need to get done. The problem is that this pastor basically had depleted all his serotonin levels, and he was just running on adrenaline. So the next big event, the next this, the next that, and his body just kind of shut down. I'm not saying that's where our pastor is at, but I am saying that after over two decades of ministry, 23 years we just passed in November, and having basically 3 months of sabbatical during that entire 23-year time, there's probably some things going on in him under the surface that we don't immediately see. Nothing wrong. God has shown amazing grace in pastor's life. His time with the Lord is strong. His love of people is strong. But after that long, going that hard as a church planter, there are some steps that need to be taken if we want to see our pastor and our ministry go forward for the next 20 years, or however long the Lord has until, I don't know, Zephon takes over. Sorry. I couldn't think of anybody, and so I didn't want to pick on anybody, so I picked on my own son. There you go. What else is pastor going to do on sabbatical? He'll probably do some things that I don't know would be classified as soul care. The idea of serotonin I mentioned earlier, serotonin levels can only be replaced over time. It's like a trickle charge is the way it's explained to me. It's a trickle charge that only time will fix. It is not something that you can just go for a weekend and you're good to go again, ready for another 10 years. No, this is something that needs to be replenished over time. He'll hopefully have some times of spiritual discovery as he has time to reflect, as he has time to really think on 23 years of ministry, or maybe only the last 23 months, or maybe the only last 5 years. I don't know what God is going to do in the heart of our pastor on his sabbatical, but the goal is that God would do something in the heart of our pastor on a sabbatical. And that includes Debbie as well. They're both going to be gone for an extended period of time. The last thing that I want to mention as to what pastor might do on sabbatical, and I think this has application for us in our lives. This is the other passage of scripture I asked you to turn to. Mark chapter 6. I want to talk to you a few minutes about solitude. The idea of solitude. Now, I'm no expert on solitude. Honestly, I haven't really thought about it much other than the last few weeks. And I am growing and learning about this idea. But some things I have learned, I want to share with you. So let's look at Mark chapter 6 and verse number 31. Or let's start in verse number 30, the beginning of the paragraph. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they had just had a period of great ministry. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And if you look at verse number 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And go down to verse 35. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Talking about a bunch of people that followed them. Send them away that they may go into the country round about. And then we see again, finally in verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So here's what happened. The disciples had a great time of ministry. And then Jesus says, hey, come away into a desert place and rest. And so they went to a desert place privately, and then a whole bunch of people followed them because they were needy, and the Lord saw them following him, and he had compassion on them. And after teaching them and ministering to them, he said to the disciples, feed these guys. And the disciples were like, we can't feed these guys. There's too many of them. So you have one of the instances of feeding, either the 4,000 or the 5,000. And so they feed the people and then send them away. And then Jesus sends the disciples back across the lake, and he goes to a mountain to pray. All of that is, there are many lessons to be learned, and I'm not expositing that text. This is a topical message, obviously. But the issue is that they went to a desert place. They went to a lonely place. They went to a place where there were not traditionally many people. Now, I want to help us understand this idea of solitude. Solitude is not being alone. Solitude is being alone with God. There's a difference. When you're alone, all by yourself, you could be lonely. That might be a problem. But when you are pursuing or actively trying to achieve solitude, you are purposefully being alone with God. And that is a great difference. Solitude is not defensive, it is offensive. Here's what I mean. Oftentimes we think of a sabbatical or a leave period, a renewal leave, or something like that as, oh man, just got to get away. Just got to get away from the noise, from the people, from the activities, from all the stuff going on. There is some truth to being pulled away from the day-to-day. But a sabbatical is technically not an escape. It is actually a time of encounter where we are trying to facilitate encountering God. Now, we can have solitude in our lives. You can organize it however you want to organize it or pursue it however you want, but all of us should have some element of solitude in our life every day with God. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's at night. Maybe it's in the middle of the day. But whenever it is in your life, we all should pursue time alone with God. Not just time alone, not just me time, not just being away, but time alone with God. Our goal should not be to escape per se or to merely escape, but to escape and encounter our God. Let me share with you a little bit of window into my personal life. In my devotional life or my times of private worship or whatever you want to call it, my time alone with God, I think there have been times when my time with God have become about production. Not about his presence. Here's what I mean. I got to read this. I got to memorize this. I got to pray through these number of things. I'm a weird person, I know. But if my prayer list had 40 things on it, I would say there are 7 days in a week, there's 40 things. That would be 7 prayer requests 5 days a week and 6 prayer requests 2 days a week. And so I've got to pray through these 7 things. You fill in the number, whatever it is. You get what I'm saying. I got to pray through this number of things on this day, this number of things on this day, this list on this day, and memorize these things on this day, and review this on this day, and read this stuff on this day. And there is a benefit to being organized. I get it. There's a benefit to having a plan. But we cannot program our relationship with God or over-program our relationship with God. There has to be a moment at which we shove away all the distractions and we sit quietly before God and we say, God, here I am. What do you want of me? And we just wait. And guess what's going to happen? Things are going to come to your mind. Bad things. Oh my goodness, I forgot to do that. Let me send a quick text. Oh my goodness, that email was waiting for me. I knew I should have answered it. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen in your life. When you pause, when you push it all away and you say, all right, God, here I am. All of a sudden, you're going to remember everything you ever forgot. I recommend this. In your times of solitude with God, get a little note paper. When those thoughts come, write it down and push it aside. Write it down, push it aside. And do it until there's nothing left that you can be distracted by and you can say, all right, it'll all get done. Or it won't get done. The things that got done today, guess what? They got done. The things that didn't get done today, guess what? They didn't get done. Again, rhythms in our life. Are we trusting in God or are we trusting in our planning? Are we trusting in our diligence? Are we trusting in our ability to manufacture, make, produce, do, act? Part of sabbatical, part of Sabbath, part of solitude is saying, I'm taking my hands off. I am only human. I recognize, God, you are divine. And I am not only putting my faith and trust in you for my eternal life, but I'm putting my faith and trust in you for today, for this week, for this month, for this season of my life. Solitude. That's why I entitled this message on sabbaticals and solitude. I think we can learn things from both, even if we're not going on a sabbatical. Question number 4. What should we do during pastor's sabbatical? What we should not do is basically say, all right, pastor's on sabbatical. Game nights every night at Zane's house. Or we shouldn't say, you know, Pastor, Debbie, they're doing their thing and we're going to do ours. And when they get back, we'll reconnect and move on. What we shouldn't do is say, you know what, we're just going to kind of hold down the fort. And we're going to sit tight and we're going to make sure that we don't lose any ground in any of our ministries or in any of the things that we do. And we're just going to hang on and hand pastor back the same church that he got when he left. That's not what we want to do. Let me encourage you on a couple things. Pursue ministry involvement. I know we do that all the time at Canyon Ridge, or we say we do that all the time. But let me in on a little secret. This is, I guess, the message of confessions for Bernie and for the staff. We as a staff, the vast majority of us, are very driven. And those that aren't help those that are. And so we just put our heads down and we go and we go and we go. We need your help to say, hey, I'm here. I want to do something. And if your request doesn't get answered right away, I'm sorry. We failed you. We did. I'm looking across the crowd, and I know several of you have done exactly that. But you know what? Some of you have continued asking, and we say, oh, well, we need help with this, and we need help with that. And we as a staff, we are going to really strive to be better at incorporating our church body in the life of the church. And I think we do a decent job because of pastor's training, because of the culture here at Canyon Ridge, many of you are involved in ministry or involved in volunteering or involved in different things. But I'm telling you, hey, let's use pastor's sabbatical and up the game. And let's throw ourselves into ministry. And perhaps there are things that could be done that in our minds, the staff's minds, we just, you know, it's a dream. And maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have something that you could do that we don't know about. We would love to know that. Let's explore and involve together in ministry. Number two, I want to encourage you with vision exploration. I don't know how else to call it. I just called it vision exploration. Here's what I mean. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And basically, for the empowerment of the church, for the growth of the church. Well, pastor is both an evangelist by the strict definition of the term. It basically means a church planter. And he's a pastor and a teacher. So he is a gift that God has given to us. And in his role as a pastor, as a shepherd, God has given him a vision or a plan for the local church, the way that the church should move forward, the ministries that we should be involved in, the activities that our church should be a part of. So the question is, how can we explore ways to be involved and to further the ministry of Canyon Ridge within that vision that God has given our pastor? In other words, I'm saying lean into the vision that God has given our pastor. And pastor, before he leaves, and us as a staff will do our best to communicate that to the entire church at large. But the goal is not that we just hunker down and wait till pastor gets back, or not that we, like the steward, just hand him back exactly what he handed over when he left. But we want to fulfill the Great Commission as a church. Yes, we need our pastor. Yes, we need his vision. Yes, we need his guidance. Yes, we need his shepherding and his watchful care. God has given to him to us as a gift. But we as a church have a responsibility to move forward with the vision that God has given him. And so I have five blanks here. I just taught a new members class, and we talk about these things in the new members class. These are the expectations of new members. So maybe you're not, haven't been in part of our new members class. Maybe you have been, and this is all review. These are the expectations that we have of new members. And we tell them up front, like, hey, this is what we want from a church member at Canyon Ridge. Number one, attendance. You got to be here. Yeah. Just because pastor is gone doesn't mean that it's everybody's sabbatical or vacation. Like, come on. Like, we all need to be here to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens, to support one another, to sing to one another and teach one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We have to do those things together. Attendance. Number two, discipleship. Discipleship. There's a little bit of confusion about discipleship, and we're going to try to teach through it and explain through it. But discipleship is not necessarily just a program that we follow. It's not a book that we go through. It is and it isn't. We use the book at Canyon Ridge as a structure to talk about the Christian life and to talk about your life in particular if you are being discipled. But every discipleship is different. And true discipleship happens shoulder to shoulder while we serve God together, while we work together, while we worship together. True discipleship, all that it is someone imparting spiritual encouragement or wisdom or knowledge to someone else that needs it. You might do that to your neighbor tonight. Your neighbor might do that for you tonight. True discipleship just means that we are shoulder to shoulder helping one another to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes it happens formally, most of the time informally. Number three, evangelism. Evangelism. We must be about the business of the kingdom. God gave to the church the commission to share the good news. God told us to go. Christ told us to go. And so we have a responsibility not just on church outreaches, like all church outreach this Saturday, not just on church special events like All American Sunday, but we have a responsibility for every person that we come into contact with or have influence with in our lives to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. I like those new little tracks about ChatGPT. I like them because nobody understands what it's talking about. You hand it to them, they're like, what is this? It says ChatGPT. It just, whatever, it clicks with them. I always just hand them over. I don't know how it's going yet. We'll find out. I hand them over and I say, everyone deserves meaning and purpose in life. I found mine in Jesus Christ. I just want you to read this. and see what happens. I don't know. Is it true that everyone deserves meaning and purpose? Yes. God made everyone with a purpose to glorify him. God made everyone, created everyone with a purpose of having meaning in Christ. So yes, everyone deserves to have meaning and purpose. I may be talking about something different from what they think I'm talking about, but no matter what, we share the gospel every chance we get with every person that we can. We must be about evangelism. These are set things that Pastor has seen as the vision for Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. Number four, service. Talked about that a little bit already. Don't want to belabor that. Get involved at Canyon Ridge. If you're not involved in any ministry, please come talk to me. Come talk to Zane. Come talk to any of the staff tonight. We will get you involved. We will get you involved in something. We have things for you to do that will further the kingdom of God, further the cause of Christ, and help our ministry to get the gospel out to more people. And the last thing is tithing. Yes, we tell our new members or prospective members at Canyon Ridge, God expects you to tithe. God expects you to fund through the blessings that God has given you the ministry of the church. Tithing is 10% from the top, before taxes, before VAH, before anything. All your increase, the Bible says, you take 10% of that, you give it to God, and that is for the purpose of furthering the ministry right here at Canyon Ridge. Missions over and above the tithe. But tithing is a bare bones minimum expectation of any member at Canyon Ridge. And so I just want to remind you all of that, remind us of that. What should we be doing during Pastor Sabbatical? We should be furthering the vision God has given him for Canyon Ridge Baptist Church, including attendance, discipleship, evangelism, service, and tithing. We don't want to just be marking the time. I included a final quote at the bottom there. Some people may ask, even after I have talked about this, we've looked at some scripture, they may say, well, what is Pastor going to give us, or what are we going to get out of Pastor Sabbatical? Well, let me tell you, we're not going to get a book. We're not going to get a completed project. We're not going to get a five-year plan. That is not the purpose of Pastor Sabbatical. His purpose is renewal and rest. If we receive back a renewed, refreshed pastor and wife, we win. Canyon Ridge wins. And so the quote I included there, for the most part, the benefits are secondary and tangential. In other words, we might not even understand all the benefits that will come about through Pastor Sabbatical. But if they both return refreshed in their souls with renewed passion for this ministry which God has given them. And Pastor and Debbie have said over and over again, this is the ministry God has given them. They started Canyon Ridge in November of 2002. They've been here 23 years. Pastor's all the time reminding the staff, hey, I've only got 15 years yet left, 17 years left. I mean, he said something terrible to me the other night. He said, I've been here longer than I will be here. I was like, oh dear. That's sobering. But what it does is it inspires us to work for the cause of Christ, to do great things for God. And so if Pastor and Debbie return with that renewed passion, then this sabbatical will be a rousing success. And I trust you that you will with me join in praying for a wonderful sabbatical. We can start praying now in December for a sabbatical in April as we look forward to serving for many years to come with Pastor and Debbie. And as we have looked at this journey and this idea and this topic of a sabbatical, I hope you've been encouraged to examine your own life and to say, you know what? Maybe the rhythms of my life aren't quite in order. Maybe I don't quite give time that I need to give in my life for reflection and focus upon God. And maybe we need to reorder our lives to fall more in line with the scripture. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. Hear more messages anytime at canyonridgebaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, please join us for a service. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you.